conventional methods to control the outbreak in Liberia, according to the World Health Organization, are not having an adequate impact. This report from yesterday says that 2,100 people infected with Ebola have died in the states of Guinea, Liberia, Sierra Leone, and Nigeria this year. A report that came out this morning increases that number to 2,300. Half of those dying in the last 3 weeks. 2,300 with over 1,000 of them dying in the last 3 weeks. It said that 47% of the deaths and 49% of the total 4,300 cases of people who have been infected have come within the last 21 days leading up to September 6th. Wow. They highlighted the problems in Liberia's Montecedro, where 1,000 beds were needed for infected Ebola patients, but only 240 were available. Where's the world's outrage at this? Where's our heart? Where's our conscience? This is a horrible disease. The only remedy so far for the disease is to quarantine. And yet this disease isn't as violent in its throes of death or as deadly as Islam. And where this disease can only be resolved through quarantine, the same thing is true with the far more deadly Islam. By the way, in Nigeria, which is where this disease stands to explode if, in fact, they lose control, 8 people have died out of 21 cases, where one case of Ebola has been now confirmed in Senegal. It is spreading. Over the weekend, America proudly announced that it had killed the leader of the LADS, of the fundamentalist Islamic group, Al-Shabaab, the LADS. And just to demonstrate that killing the leader of an Islamic terrorist organization exacerbates the problem, that this is not the cure. This is not like World War II, where killing Adolf Hitler would have resolved anything. In this particular case, killing Islamic terrorist leaders, if anything, is counterproductive. There are 1.2 billion Muslims in the world. Preponderance of them are fundamentalists. It is not difficult to replace a fallen jihadist. Well, to prove that, a suicide bomber in Somalia kills 12 people, mutilated twice that number, in an attack aimed at the African Union troops in Somalia. A car laden with explosives was rammed into a African Union convoy traveling southwest of the capital of Mogadishu. The militant Islamic group Al-Shabaab acknowledged that it had orchestrated the attack, and it vowed to avenge the killing of its leader, Ahmed Abdi Godane, last week. He was killed by America. Reuters is reporting that the Islamic State fighters attacked a riverside town north of Baghdad, we mentioned this yesterday, with gunboats and with a car bomb, killing 17 people and wounding 54. Yes, as America bombs them, they continue to lash out. The more that they're attacked, the more they attack. It is the nature of Islam. The source said that the attack on Dulia, which is 45 miles from Baghdad, was carried out before dawn and continued for hours after the militants were pushed back. Among the dead in the attack, the largest of its kind in the area, were many civilians and also Iraqi security forces. Most of the casualties were caused by the car bomb, which struck a market. The community is part of a belt of Sunni Muslim towns north of Baghdad, where the hardline Sunni Muslim Islamic State has managed to wrestle some control, often aligning with the local militia who distrust the Shiite-led government. Now, they're not often aligning with local Sunni militia. They made that union. That is the union that created the Islamic State. Prior to that, the Islamic State in Iraq was a underfunded, undersupported Islamic terrorist group, one born out of America's invasion of Iraq. But they went across the border into Syria, where they were given heavy arms by Qatar and by Saudi Arabia, indirectly by the United States. And with those arms in Syria, they became a formidable force. And so once they had acquired billions of dollars worth of weapons, they then formed an alliance with the awakening militants, the local militias that America had armed and funded in Iraq. And once they formed that union with the awakening militias, then they were the Islamic State. At that point, they had all forms of expertise, because the Sunni militias, the warlords over those tribal militias in Iraq, were the very people who were the leaders in the Ba'athist government of Saddam Hussein. They knew how to run banks. They knew how to buy and sell and refine oil, extract it and ship it. They knew how to engage in international commerce. They knew how to lead and manage an army, particularly one equipped with state-of-the-art weapons of war. They knew how politically to govern communities and cities. They knew how to distribute things like electricity. They're professionals. And so when the Islamic State militants merged with the awakening militias, that is what created what we know now as the Islamic State. America funded them. America armed them on both sides of the border through the awakening program in Iraq and through the rebels in Syria. And now they are one and formidable. And so tomorrow, the Obaminator is going to release his policy of how he's going to deploy American weapons to destroy those that he has armed with American weapons. What a mess we have made. Iraqi Christians in the U.S. are lamenting what they see as a slow-motion genocide. We call this a slow-motion genocide. Ade Arabo, the lay spokesperson for the St. Thomas Chaldean Catholic Diocese, an Eastern Rite church that is affiliated with Roman Catholicism, told the New York Times, "It's unfortunate people don't feel it until it hits home. But I guess it's human nature that you only see what's happening in the mirror." Forced to confront genocide, Iraqi Christians are saying, what about us? You see, there were about 1.3, maybe 1.4 million Christians in Iraq who lived productive lives while Saddam Hussein was the de facto dictator of that country. But once the United States deposed Saddam Hussein And once we gave Iraq to Iran, one person, one vote, most were Shia. They aligned themselves with the candidates the Grand Ayatollah al-Sistani proposed, and they were now one with Iran. Once they did that and they put Shia Muslims in control of that country, the Christian population was decimated. It went from 1.3 million to a few hundred thousand. Then the United States began to arm not only Sunni militias within Iraq as part of the awakening program under Petraeus, but also Sunni Mujahideen in Syria to attack Assad, another secular dictator that America so badly wanted to depose, not recognizing that all it was doing is repeating the suicidal act that it perpetrated in Iraq. And when they then began to usurp control of certain areas from the Shia, the Sunni Muslims were even more militant, even more brutal, even more ruthless, even more genocidal than the Shia. And the Christian population was further decimated, down now perhaps into the tens of thousands. All of this while America snored. America didn't lift a finger, didn't so much as send a cruise missile, didn't so much as send an expert, didn't so much as even let out a peep from Washington, D.C. The Obaminator didn't say boo when Christians were being annihilated from over a million to tens of thousands. We only reacted when the Kurds, who are Muslims, played Chicken Little and said, there are hundreds of thousands of Zoroastrians that are being pummeled by the Islamic State. Come to the rescue. Give us arms. Equip us. Bomb them. And America sent in the raiders, flew in the helicopters, dropped the food, only to find a few thousand shepherds. We said, go away, but we do appreciate the food. That was nice of you. Now please go away. We reacted for the Zoroastrians, who were a myth, but not the Christians. This article continues. It says, in recent weeks, reports of Christians in Iraq and Syria being brutally beaten and killed by the Islamic State group have increased, and there have been some reports of Christians being crucified. Yes, there have been. The biggest impact on Christians, of course, is that if they stay in Iraq, not only are they degraded and humiliated and abused, but their daughters, their wives, become jihadi sex slaves. So they are routinely raped by the Sunni Muslims. So the Christians are robbed by the Sunni Muslims. Their daughters are raped by the Sunni Muslims. And those who stand up and for their faith, which is really stupid, but people do that regularly, they're killed for it. A senior fellow at the Hudson Institute Center for Religious Freedom, Paul Marshall, called the present situation the worst in modern history and probably in history, period. That is absurd.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, if confronted about this, the Muslims could say, why do you fault us for this? It's no different than the sort of treatment received by the women you send to your Air Force Academy.
Yeah, exactly. It is. It's the same abuse that of women throughout the U.S. military, where the majority of women in the U.S. military during their tenure there will be sexually abused. And the perpetrator will not be convicted, not even held accountable. However,
this is
forcing girls to serve as sex slaves in the name of a religion and crucifying people in the name of a religion and robbing them and the like, humiliating them is bad. And the Islamic State has been bad. The think tanks in this country are almost universally bribed. They are corrupt, and we'll speak of that in a moment. But in terms of putting it in perspective, which this person talked about in recorded history, I'm going to tell you the Roman assaults on the province of Yehuda, not once but twice, were vastly more vicious. And percentage of the population and total numbers of women and men killed and abused and starved, nothing compares. To even put it in the same context as what Rome did to their own province, not even remotely similar. To look at what Sparta did, for example, to the surrounding communities, enslaving the everyone around them to do all of the work so that they could treat women as nothing more than baby-making machines to make more soldiers, and that they could abuse their own sons to make them tougher soldiers. And they did it for hundreds of years. Sparta was vastly worse. But let's look at the time of Muhammad. At the time of Muhammad, he annihilated the Jewish population, completely annihilated it. It wasn't that he took a slice of it. He didn't give the Jews the opportunity to convert or die. He just killed them. He didn't issue a warning to the women. He raped them. He didn't subject the children to humility. He enslaved them. Not some of them. All of them. And then I want you to consider the first 100 years of Islam. The best estimates are that between 200 and 300 million people were ravaged by this religion, from India to Morocco. Hundreds of millions raped, enslaved, and murdered. And to not consider that and to think that this is the worst in history, look more recently at the league between Adolf Hitler's Nazis and the Grand Mufti's Muslims and conceiving the Holocaust, where 6 million Jews and 6 million ethnic minorities were systematically worked to death and then murdered in concentration camps. And you compare that 12 million to tens of thousands, and you call this the worst in history, and you present yourself as a credible think tank contributor to this discussion? So the senior fellow of the Hudson Institute Center for Religious Freedom, Paul Marshall, called the present situation in Iraq the worst in modern history and probably in history, period. How can you be that unaware? You're paid to study. You're paid to render an intelligent position. And you call what's happened in Iraq, which is hard to know if it's even 10,000. And my guess is it's well under 1,000 Christians who have been crucified, beheaded, or raped by the Islamic State. Now, I'm not trying to absolve the Islamic State. What they have done to the remaining Christian population there is egregious. What the Shia that America armed and empowered did prior to the Sunnis was even more egregious. The consequence of the American invasion was suicidal for the Christians. But the fact is that what is happening in Iraq isn't even remotely comparable to what's happened previously in the world. modern history, include, look at the Sudan. This is modern history. In the Sudan, over a period of 25 years, the Arab Muslim government of the Sudan systematically killed 3 million Sudanese Christians and animists. 3 million. They killed twice the Christian population of Iraq. And so how is the genocidal Islamic rage against the Sudanese Christians, where 3 million were killed, not greater than the 1,000, maybe 5,000, if we go to the full extent of extrapolation here, how does 5,000 compare to 3 million? I mean, these things are not even remotely similar. World War II is modern history. 12 million Jews and ethnic minorities systematically hunted down, deprived of their freedom, and ultimately murdered by Nazism in conjunction with Islam. And you want to compare 5,000 with 12 million? And you want to say it's the worst in modern times and the worst in history, and you're not aware that Muhammad was worse? And in the 100 years after Muhammad's death, we're dealing with hundreds of millions who were murdered by Muslims. Boy, you can't put things in perspective. When you're so out of touch with reality and that you're giving your opinion as a think tank representative, it's either that you're grotesquely immoral and you know the truth and you have been bribed, which is the case with most think tanks, or you're just a moron, completely incapable of exercising good judgment. Either way, you ought not be doing this. There's a report out that I think was published by the Washington Post, but it may have been the New York Times, but I'm pretty sure it's the Washington Post, that told part of a story. They didn't want to tell the whole story, but they certainly told part of a story. They listed the largest think tanks in Washington, and they're thick as thieves in Washington. And it connected the contributions made by countries to those think tanks. And it came to the conclusion that countries were buying favorable reports so that the reports of the think tanks weren't based on analysis, but based upon money. And they listed the countries that had made donations. And you know, you had 10,000 or 50,000 from Norway and 10 or 20,000, 100,000 from Australia, to these various think tanks. And then you get down to Qatar. 20 million. And the United Arab Emirates, 15 million. And you start looking at the opinions that were being purchased by Muslims. And it was reprehensible. And begins at the most respected of the Washington think tanks and goes on down to the smaller players. It's just like universities today. They're receiving so much money from the Saudi Arabian thugs and the Kuwaiti thugs that they're incapable of orchestrating an educational environment that informs their student body of the hellish nature of this religion. We're being bought and sold because we have become grotesquely immoral. And the think tanks are a great example of it.
Yada?
Yes.
if you haven't met. And you talk about the morality and ethics. And in the thing is, you know, context is everything. So what happens is these numbers become daunting, and they have to be looked at in context. When you're a juror in a murder trial, you're dealing with the emotional content, and the issue was one human life, say.
Right.
You know, and you were addressing when. So this ranges.
Oh, we lost Glenn, and this unless it was our stack that failed. I've made plenty of mistakes with the switchboard. This was not me. Was happy to hear what Glenn had to say. I did not cut him off, but we were disconnected. Hopefully he calls back. Might have been him. Okay. What's happening to us was the question asked by Bishop Francis Kalabat, who was appointed by Pope Francis, and said that he recalls being asked, "Where's our government?" The government in Iraq is controlled by Tehran. It's in Tehran. The candidates are all chosen by the Grand Ayatollah al-Sistani, and he is from a Shiite Muslim cleric from Iran. And so that's where the government is. You want to know where the government is? It's in Tehran. I can answer that question for you. I know that being religious, evidence and reason don't mean much to you, Kalabat, or Pope Francis, but that's the answer to the question. Where's our government? In this case, speaking of the Iraqi Christians, it is in Tehran. Where's the U.S.? You know, it's interesting. The U.S. is always accused of being a Christian country, and yet we have been hell on Christians. When the United States, for example, turned their back on Chiang Kai-shek and empowered Mao Zedong, the consequence for Christians in China was devastating. When America invaded Iraq, the consequence on Christians were absolutely devastating. We have a trail of constantly ignoring the fate of Christians and putting them into to harm's way. And it is so interesting, though, that America would, administration, Obama nation would bomb, would conduct special raids, would put boots on the grounds to save Zoroastrians and not do a thing for Christians. It's almost as if America's embarrassed to even be associated with Christians, even when the fate of Christians is a consequence of stupid American actions. We do have Glenn back. Hello, Glenn. Yeah. I don't know what happened there, but you were cut off.
Yeah, no. I was just trying to address the issue of the daunting nature of dealing with the numbers. Now that everybody's thinking globally all the time and looking at everything all over the world and over, you know, shorter periods of time, weeks or months, and you know, so all the proportionality of our emotional response and our ethical response and
We've lost Glenn again. Well, his point is that we've lost sight of context. That was really my point at the beginning of the program. Okay, the Ray Rice video, it shows him cold cocking his fiancée, now wife. That's bad. Domestic violence in America is bad. But in the context of violence against women, what's happening in America is insignificant to the violence that is being perpetrated against Muslim women. Now, I don't have sympathy for Muslim women because they've perpetrated on themselves. They bring it upon themselves. They're far more responsible for the abuse that is perpetrated on them than was Ray Rice's fiance, now wife, where she is displacing all of her rage by, you know, blaming others for her condition. Muslim women are far worse at this than is Jonna Rice. This bishop, appointed by Pope Francis Kalabat, next says, "Where's the world?" Now, the world is supplying arms. The world is responsible for the annihilation of Christians. It supplied the weapons that enabled it. It turned over the dictator, it deposed the dictator that facilitated it. The world is working against you. Where's the church? Well, you know, the church doesn't have much to say. Not that much to do. You know, the church is only interested in one thing. Well, two things perhaps, but they're related. Money and power. All they care about. No money in Iraq. No power in Iraq. No reason to be interested in Iraq. That's the answer with the church. The church, the Roman Catholic Church, has always been interested in money and power. You know, they'll facilitate and dance with the devil if it means more money, if it means more control. They'll embrace the most pagan of doctrines. They'll associate with the most vile of individuals if it means more money in their coffers, more control, and thus more power. They don't care. And then they say, where's God? Well, God has no association with the church or with Christians. He doesn't have an association in that fight. There is a lot that I want to speak of here as this article continues. And I'm just going to read the line, and I'm going to address it in tomorrow's program and then encourage Glenn to finish his thought. And then we have Jim calling in from Arizona. This says, we are called, this is the Catholic-appointed bishop, we are called the Church of Martyrs. That is our pain and our saving grace. Our faith isn't a theory. It is not a set of teachings. It is a person, and we're called to be like him. When I look at this evil, I want to be Rambo. But that won't do any good. We carry a cross for a reason. Everything about that is rotten to the core. Every bit of that is revolting. And in tomorrow's program, we'll address it. But Glenn, I want you to be able to finish your thought. You seem to be connected reasonably well at the moment, and then Jim has a comment.
Yeah, well, it's truly odd. I can't imagine that anything I was saying should be that offensive to anyone, so I have to think that there must be a technical glitch. But I was just making a case for proportion.
We definitely did not disconnect you.
No. Yeah, I don't think so. No. It's just very odd. Just as I started, you know, but people love to say, oh, it's them. They, you know, they push the button because they don't like what I was saying.
No, we didn't do that.
No, I don't mean you. I mean, you know, them. I'm not you, them.
Oh, them. Them. Of course, yes, them. I don't think them did it. I don't think them did it either.
Yeah, the mere fact, anyway, but the old joke is the mere fact that
yes.
They're out to get me doesn't make me paranoid or whatever.
Yeah, right.
No, but I mean, I was just making a case for proportioning our responses, you know, contextually, because we're so inundated with information, everybody's trying to be globally aware, you know, and, so we, and it's obviously in our personal lives, obviously we have to, you know, give more emotional import to those, you know, whom we love and our families, those who are with whom we're bonded and interact. Mm-hmm. And then as you try to go further out from the person, you obviously can't invest as much emotional, emphasis for, you know, as things get larger. And then over time, you know, so I say 150,000 people will die today, 55 million people will die in the world this year. And there's 400 dying over there, 3,000 dying from Ebola over here, you know, and X many millions died in this war. So obviously, it's easy for people to, you know, screw up. Like you're refuting the person who misstated, you know, the numbers. It's when you're looking at large numbers and your emotions are involved, it's not that surprising that someone should make such a misstatement. Well, you know, certainly worthy of correction, but it's just hard to keep perspective, you know, with this much death and lies and violence.
Yes, but of course, if you lose perspective, you've lost most everything.
Oh, you know, yeah.
Isolated incident, any isolated incident, like the Islamic State acting badly in Iraq, out of the greater context of Islam acting badly in the world, renders any conclusion about the behavior of the Islamic State in Iraq to be irrelevant, meaningless, typically erroneous, misleading, absurd. And so perspective, you can call it, I think you referred to it as context, and I have no issue with the context, but perspective or context is essential when trying to make reasonable, rational, informed conclusions. And this individual either has no perspective or lost sight of a proper perspective.
Or is essentially, simply mistaken and emotionally involved. This is not that unusual, which is why we need, the greater context of other people saying, other people and people groups saying, well, hold it, let's look at the facts.
The family member has a right to be personally involved and therefore to be mistaken because of their personal context. Someone speaking for a think tank focusing on religious malfeasance, they do not have that luxury. Jim,
you're talking about the paid sophomoric sociopaths. Anyway, all right, take care. Thank you.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Yeah. Jim, I understand you took my challenge and you watched some Islamic beheadings. Are you dutifully enraged against Islam, or what influence did it have on you?
Now, I can guarantee you that. I think you're into something as far as exposing Islam. You can't watch those, especially with the audio turned up and hearing the Allah Akbar chanting when the head severs from the body or when they're twisted around to try to snap the spinal cord. It will be a very, very memorable reaction.
It's almost impossible to ignore the consequence, the savagery of Islam, the vile nature of Islam when watching and particularly listening to one of those attacks.
Yes,
sir. Yeah, Jim, please stay with us. We're going to have the news and commercial break, but would love to get your input as we move into the next hour.